Amen. Isn't it good to be here tonight? God is good, right? I'm basically going to get right into this, so let's go to Exodus 3, chapter 3, verses 2. You got it, say amen. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And I'm going to skip around for the sake of a lot of scripture that we're covering today. And we're going to skip to 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto him, said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, this being God. I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You may be seated. Moses says, surely not I. I want to continue on that topic, on that thought for a little bit. I want to go to Exodus chapter 4 now, verses 10 through 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, is that up there? Yep. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you, your mouth. I will be with thy mouth and teach you what thou shalt say. Moses, like right off the bat, Moses begins to go off his logic, as we can see that. He says, surely not me. And he disqualifies himself immediately for what God was asking him to do. My speech, Lord, I'm not eloquent. It's believed he had a stuttering problem. God's simple answer was, I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach you what to say. God basically said, I have your back, Moses. Don't even worry about it. Moses basically requests someone else to do it, and God gets angry with Moses, and he sends his brother, Aaron. That's how he gets into our little story here. Moses did not understand what it truly meant when God said, I will be with you. In my message today, my title is, God Has Your Back. Moses ends up going to Pharaoh, we see in chapter 5. God tells Moses to instruct Aaron. So God's telling Moses to then instruct Aaron, which I find interesting. He just has to tell Aaron, he doesn't have to tell Pharaoh. But he tells Moses to instruct Aaron to cast down his rod before Pharaoh as a sign. And Aaron's rod became a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians were able to replicate that miracle by Aaron's rod. But Aaron's rod ate the other magicians' rods that had turned into serpents. Pharaoh's magicians were able to replicate that miracle, but Aaron's rod would eat theirs. Nevertheless, Pharaoh hardened his heart. So then we end up coming into the 10 plagues. The first would be the river turned to blood. In Exodus chapter 7, Aaron, at the command of Moses, raised his staff over the Nile River. The water turned to blood, causing the fish to die and for the water to smell. Have you ever smelled water where there's dead fish? We got a lot of carp around here. You ever smell that? It's probably smelled like nasty catfish caviar. You know, just that stench that came off. Ugh. Anyhow, that smell covered the land, but Pharaoh and his sorcerers were also able to turn more water into blood. Then they dug wells around the water to get fresh water. Pharaoh hardened his heart. In Exodus chapter 8, after yet another plea to Pharaoh to let the Israelites go, and a warning as to what would happen, Pharaoh refuses to release them. And God speaks to Moses, "Say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod over the rivers and ponds and cause frogs to come out from among them and cover the land." The magicians then reproduced this plague as well with their enchantments and brought the frogs among the land as well. Now Egypt has got a lot of frogs. I find it interesting that the magicians could call the frogs, they could enchant the frogs to come out, but they couldn't actually get rid of them. So Pharaoh then pleads with Moses to get rid of the frogs. So there's a lot of frogs. Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, "If you get rid of these frogs, I will free the Israelites." They agree on a time. Moses says, "So be it." Then once all the frogs are gone, Pharaoh changes his mind and decides to keep them. Then the Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand and smite the dust so that it becomes lice." Aaron did so, and it became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. The magicians could not repeat this miracle, or this plague, I wouldn't call it a miracle. They even went as far as to say that this was the finger of God. But Pharaoh hardened his heart yet again. Moses rose up early to plead with Pharaoh as the Lord had instructed. Basic summary: let my people go or there will be flies everywhere. But this time, only for the Egyptians, the land of Goshen will be spared. This is where the Israelites lived. The flies came, and Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God. Just get out of here." Moses talks with the Lord, the flies leave, and Pharaoh yet again will not let God's people go. This is another plague that only affects the Egyptians. All their cattle would die, and none of the Israelites would die. This is the next plague in chapter 9. Pharaoh's heart hardens yet again. Next plague, the boils. The Lord tells Moses and Aaron to take a handful of ashes from a furnace. Moses sprinkles it towards the heavens. It becomes boils upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And Pharaoh yet again hardens his heart. Moses comes back to Pharaoh yet again. If I was Pharaoh, I'd be getting sick of Moses. Amen. Or maybe you'd figure out that you should probably let God's people go. You know, whatever. This time, Moses tells Pharaoh there will be hail. But in instructing Moses, he tells him this in Exodus 9, chapter 9, verse 16. "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Moses' calling was to let God use him so that God's power could be shown to the world. I find it interesting, he said, that my name may be made great. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We know that was Jesus. They didn't know it yet, but we do. The hail comes down. It destroys the land, except in Goshen, where God's people are. After that, the locusts. After that, darkness. And then the death of the firstborn. Finally, Pharaoh lets the Israelites go. What would be the point of me telling you all this? Well, I have one. How much did Moses truly have to do in the freeing of God's people? Within the time of me being up here alone, I've probably gone through more words than he had to Pharaoh. And I probably not action because I've been pretty stuck here and a little nervous, but he had to raise a staff, he had to speak to Pharaoh, and he had to walk the distance from wherever he lived, his camp, to Pharaoh. And then he just had to say what God told him to say. He was God's spokesman. He didn't even have to write his own material. God told him exactly what to say. Moses saying what the Lord told him to say ended up freeing God's people from Egypt. So that's why if you have a song God gave you, a message, something burning in your heart that God's given you, you should say it too. Egypt is representation of the new church, the world. In the new church, in the New Testament, Egypt is representing the world. The freeing of Egypt, the coming out of the world. Moses was freeing them from bondage. We are freeing them from the grips of sin. What if deep down inside you were the words to somebody else's salvation? The words of freedom for the Israelites. What if it would have gotten hidden in the heart of Moses and he had hid behind one of his excuses as to why it shouldn't be him? If he had never been the mouthpiece for God. Now, truthfully, what would have happened because of an Abrahamic covenant, God would have found somebody else because he already made the promise to Abraham. But in our lives, individually, there are people that only you can talk to. Only you can talk to. The main calling for Moses was to speak for God, and he wasn't even good at that. He stuttered. He was slow. He wasn't even really qualified in his own eyes. Yeah, that's what God called him to do. What did God say? I will be with you. I'll teach your mouth and tell you what to say. What does that mean to have God with you truly? Truly, what does that mean? Because God wasn't trying. This is basically what it means. God wasn't trying to call Moses because Moses was qualified by any means. He called Moses, and when he had God with him, God qualified him. That's exciting. Because whatever you have, whatever insecurities you have, whatever excuses, whatever things there are to stand behind, God already knows those things before he ever called you to begin with. God knew what I was going to say behind this pulpit before I ever even got asked to preach. He knows everything, and he still chose us anyways. It's powerful. You can be comfortable in your calling with God because you know God already knows what to expect from you and what he's going to have to do. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's actually better to be weak, because you're more dependent upon God. If I was the best speaker in the world, it would be easy to rely on my own abilities rather than trusting in the hand of God. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pastor has been talking with us these past 2 weeks about being overwhelmed. I think the call of God on anyone's life can be a very overwhelming feeling. I was at the gym. It's a gym story. And I had set a goal for myself, and I had just achieved that goal. So I'm happy. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Goals, yeah, right? I just achieved that goal, and it was a lot of weight for me. I'm not the biggest person in the world, but it was a lot of weight for me. I'm like, yes, you know, and I stand up and I look over and looking around like, yeah, you know, good job for my friends, you know. And this guy off to the left is like, can you spot me? Sure, it's fine. I just hit that, you know. I look over and the guy is 6'5", 250 pounds. Yeah. I'm a helpful person. I like helping people out. I do. I look over at him and I see him. He's like up there, you know, like you look over where a normal human being would be. And I'm looking at his like stomach, and then I'm like, and I look over at the weight he's got on there. He's got 6'45s on each side and some change, like 10s and 5s or whatever. And he's squatting like, how? I'm not even kidding you. I said, how? He's like, well, you know, just, I got it. Just be back there, you know? So I'll go through the demonstration because it's funny. He's like, his shoulders are here, you know? Come on, big guy. Bring it down. Here we go. He comes down. You know what I had to do? He did that for a set of five. Five times. All I had to do was hold his shoulders back a little bit. It felt like I was trying to hold back an ox or like a bull or something. But he knew when he asked me to do it. I mean, he's been working really hard at this. I asked him. He competed and stuff. He knew that I wasn't going to have to help him that much to begin with. But when I looked at it, I automatically disqualified myself because what would I do if something went wrong? Yep, it's coming down. Woo! I barely got out of the way of that one. It's too bad you didn't. But he doesn't want to hurt himself. And I feel like when God was kind of speaking to me about that, and it's like, I know that it's heavy, but I'm going to take care of the miraculous in your ministry. God is going to do what you don't think you can do. And when he's asking you to come in and do something, he's not asking you to carry the majority of the weight. He's already planning on carrying it for himself. So when he says, you got this, he means, you got this. I'm going to take care of it. Moses, the miracles. What if he would have spent his time trying to perform the miracles in the natural by himself? All he did was speak the word, and God was faithful. All you need to do is speak the word, and God will be faithful. He had to stand before Pharaoh. Moses did. I imagine in his mind he thought, what if Pharaoh wanted to kill me? What if Pharaoh didn't believe me? The things that can weigh you down and keep you from doing it, but that wasn't in his power. That wasn't in his place. God had his back. God basically said, I will make them believe you. I want to go to Exodus 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, lowercase g, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. He had made him a god. Moses didn't make himself a god. God worked him out to be that way. God held his hand through all of it. So my question is, what is your call today? What calling do you have on your life? Are you fulfilling it? If not, why would you be fulfilling it? Where's the excuse? Because God has your back. Now, I know we have a great church. I love Calvary Gospel Church and plenty of the people in here. You're in ministry. Amen. I love Calvary Gospel Church. I do. And I could not understand why I couldn't shake this message. I was struggling with it for a little bit. Then God took me to the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, and I'm going to summarize. He gave five to one, he gave two to another, and he gave one to the other guy. The man with five multiplied his talents. The man with two multiplied his talents, but the man with one buried his talent. Now, talents is actually referring to money, but obviously it's easy to relate to us because talent means like talent, like my skills. You know, I multiplied my skills. But I'm going to be honest with you in writing this. I didn't understand, and I was trying to figure out where God was going with this. What was Moses' talent? He could speak. How many people in here can speak? Everybody can speak. That was Moses' talent, and he wasn't even good at it. So I got to thinking about it, and I was like, he got to be the spokesman for God. That's what his calling ended up being. And then we got this parable of the talents, Moses' talent. Speak, like I said. And I felt this in my spirit. God said, since you, how many, show of hands, how many people can speak? Is that everybody in here? Even if you have sign language, you can speak in sign language. That's still speaking. I know some people can't, but the majority of us can speak. And I was trying to figure out why we came to the talents. And God spoke to me. It was more impressed on my mind, I guess I should say. But this was like 2 weeks ago, and I started to cry. So I'm trying not to right now because I have that problem. Thanks, Uncle Roy. We all got it. No, but he said, God told me, he were impressed upon me that we have people who are hiding their voice.
behind their other talents. Don't ask me to talk to that person. I'm the drummer. Don't ask me. I'm the piano player. I can't speak. I can't tell somebody what God's been telling me in my heart. Hiding your ability to speak behind your talent. And then there's nothing wrong by any means of being a drummer, a piano player, worship leader. But making that your excuse in your mind to make yourself feel comfortable about not fulfilling our calling. We're called to win the lost. We're called to win the lost. We're called to make sure that people make it into heaven. And God has given us the words that we need for somebody else's salvation. They're lost in Egypt, and God's given us the freeing words, amen, the gospel of Jesus he has given to us. But if we never speak, what do? We're putting a dam on the river that's supposed to flow out of us. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you were to have rivers flowing out of your belly, where would they come out of? Your mouth. Deep within your spirit there are rivers of living water. And if you close your mouth for whatever excuse, whatever reason, that living water isn't coming out. I'd like to have musicians come for a moment. Moses did as he was supposed to. He spoke for God. And it freed all the Egyptians from bondage. Then they ended up running across and taking over the promised land. And in our callings, in our lives, in our personal growth, we are called to do that same exact thing in people's lives. I would hate to have the feeling that I held something inside of me that was somebody else's salvation. Me and my friend Dane, we joke around actually. I caught myself doing it. We're the drummers that we drum at. Revival Ridge. Somebody came in and they were looking for a preacher, and they came up to me and they said, are you the preacher? Are you a pastor? I said, no, I'm just a drummer. You want Brother Carter? I pointed them in Brother Carter's direction. I did that. I hid. Now, Brother Carter's a man of God, and I'm sure he told her exactly what she needed to tell him. But if inside of us we disqualify ourselves or try to make comfortable, you know, you get what I'm saying. Make comfortable that you're not doing exactly the will of God, which is to seek and to save that which were lost. We're Christian. That means to be Christ-like. Jesus came to seek and to save that which were lost. If we're not doing that, but we're hiding behind a ministry, but our mouth is quiet, our mouth is silenced, how many people could be dying that are lost because we won't speak? I feel God is calling. I tried to figure out why would anybody else close their mouth? That's what I want to know. I always want to know why. I want to get to the root cause of it. Why would I close my mouth? Pastor Roy has been talking about fear of failure, basically, essentially. Failing. What if I don't make it? What if I don't do it right? What if I don't say what I need to say? And we put so much weight on ourselves. But God is the one who's supposed to carry the weight. You just have to, you could say three words. And those three words could be what God's been working in the mind of that individual that you're talking to. But we put the weight on ourselves. It's not our weight to carry. You just have to speak. You just have to write. You just have to make songs. You have to do whatever God is calling you to do because it means somebody else could be saved. What did it truly mean to have God on your side? Do you believe God's on your side today? Do you think God would call you halfway when you're almost there and then say, just kidding, I'm not with you? You literally have to fear nothing. The world these days, they wanna silence the church. You can see it happening. You can see it happening everywhere. They would love to keep our voice silent, but you don't have to fear anything that God's told you to say. You don't have to fear standing for the word of God, because if God is for you, who can be against you? I have one example, and then I'm done. That's all I have. Brooke was applying for a job, and she's a physical fitness person. That's what she does. She's more physically fit than I am, obviously. But she got this job. She put in her information. She was looking for a job. She wanted full-time hours. And so she puts in all her information, and then these people start to call her. And she gets a job interview with somebody, and they end up telling her that they want her to fulfill the job and so on and so forth. And she writes them back, and she said, I noticed that your uniforms, you have to wear spandex shorts. I can't wear spandex shorts. Now, I'm not teaching about modesty. If you wear spandex shorts, talk to Brother Roy about it. But Brooke personally wasn't going to wear the spandex shorts. And they sent her a thing, and they said, we're sponsored by Nike. I'll send you the catalog. And you can find whatever you feel is modest. And we'll order that, and we'll put the badge on there for us. Because God was for her. God is for you standing out on his word. And I just felt like some people need to know God is for you in your ministry. He never called you to leave you stranded. I feel like we should come up to the altar and we should pray and we should make sure that in our hearts, like I said, plenty of you are called, plenty of you are being used. It's a great church. We should make sure that we haven't abandoned what the biggest passion in our relationship with God was, to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen.